Thankful our visitors are with us, and I hope that your time with us can be an encouragement. I was originally thinking like a verse-by-verse exposition of the first and second census in Numbers, but then I thought, you know, maybe something else might fit Mother's Day a little bit better, so we'll share some things along those lines. But happy Mother's Day in all seriousness to all the moms and grandmothers and women out there. It's just thankful that we can honor you today. It's a blessing to be able to just honor and celebrate mothers and grandmothers. Really, anyone who's been that nurturing, formative, shaping influence through your love and your faith. It's a blessing to be able to honor and celebrate you today. And so we recognize that today for many is a day of celebration. At the same time, for many others, today can be alienating, can be painful, shining a spotlight on some very specific areas of suffering in your life. And so let's rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, and make sure we navigate the day with that balance and sensitivity and thoughtfulness. For those who've lost mothers and grandmothers, for those who've lost children, for those who've given up children, for those who long to be a mother but for various reasons can't, may you find strength, grace, comfort, and identity in the Lord. I was thinking just about the story of Hannah in preparation for today, and how the story of Hannah speaks to that range of emotions and experiences that we just sort of sketched out. The loss and the blessing, the sorrow and the joy, the ache and the comfort, the prayers of lament as well as the prayers of praise. And we'll plan to walk through the story of Hannah in more depth in a few weeks in our class when we get into Samuel. But for today, I want to just take some time just to read this story and let the scripture speak for themselves. So if you would open up not to Numbers, but to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and let's just listen to this story as it unfolds and think through the as we said a minute ago, the range of emotions and experiences that we see in Hannah and her turning to the Lord in all things. 1 Samuel 1, beginning in verse 1. Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to Yahweh there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, to all her sons and to her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But Yahweh had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because Yahweh had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of Yahweh, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Let me stop there. Guys, never say that to your wives. Like, just don't do it, okay? And we'll leave it at that, but just never say that, okay? Picking up in verse 9. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of Yahweh. She greatly distressed, prayed to Yahweh, and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, "O Yahweh of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction, the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to Yahweh all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Now it came about as she was continued to praying before Yahweh that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, She was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard, so Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah replied, "No, my lord, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before Yahweh. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I've spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you've asked of him." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before Yahweh and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and Yahweh remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to Yahweh the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child is weaned, then I'll bring him that he may appear before Yahweh and stay there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Remain until you've weaned him. Only may Yahweh confirm his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now when she'd weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bull and 1 ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of Yahweh in Shiloh, although the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to Yahweh. For this boy I prayed, and Yahweh has given me my petition which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to Yahweh. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to Yahweh." And he worshiped Yahweh there. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like Yahweh. Indeed, there's no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for Yahweh is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry cease to be hungry. Even the barren gives birth to 7, but she who has many children languishes. Yahweh kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. Yahweh makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are Yahweh's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with Yahweh will be shattered. Against him he will thunder in the heavens. Yahweh will judge the ends of the earth. He'll give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed." Then Elkanah went to his home at Ramah, but the boy ministered to Yahweh before Eli the priest. And then jumping down to verse 18. Now Samuel was ministering before Yahweh as a boy wearing a linen ephod. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May Yahweh give you children from this woman in place of the one she's dedicated to Yahweh." And they went to their own home. Yahweh visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before Yahweh. Whether you identify with Hannah's experiences in chapter 1, or whether you can find yourself today identifying with Hannah's experiences in chapter 2, from both perspectives, I hope that there's encouragement for all of us here. Perhaps you identify with Hannah's grief and pain. Hannah knew the grief of barrenness, the grief of infertility. Hannah knew the pain of emotional abuse as she endured the taunts of her rival. If you find yourself identifying with her grief, sharing her grief, sharing her pain, I urge you, turn to the Lord for comfort and strength. Put all your trust in Him. Put all your hope in Him. Find all your value and worth and purpose in Him. Lay all your grief and pain before His feet. Pray to Him and keep praying. Be honest. Be real. This is not the kind of prayer that's meant to be formal or stuffy, but pray to Him as a child crying out to your Father. God may never change your circumstances, and we need to realize that. I don't read Hannah saying, well, look, it'll all just be okay. That's not the point in looking at Hannah's example. God may never change your circumstances, but as you turn to Him, He will change you and give you the strength and joy that is transcendent. I want you to listen to Paul's experience with this kind of wrestling through circumstances that he wanted changed. He said, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me, and He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. Think about what he's saying. I mean, truly think about what he just said as he hears the Lord's response to his begging. His response is, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I wish for you the joy that you long for comfort in your circumstances, and if possible, that your circumstances may change. But even more, I wish for you and hope for you that you find satisfaction in Christ, who alone can give you satisfaction and joy and comfort and peace. I wish for you that joy and that strength that is transcendent. And perhaps you're here today and you identify with Hannah's joy. We read that in chapter 1 hasn't described your circumstances, but chapter 2, you hear that and you identify with that. Hannah knew grief and pain. Hannah also knew the joy of motherhood, the joy of giving birth, of nursing, of holding her child, of watching him grow. And though we read sort of the events of her dedicating him to the Lord and recognize the difficulty of that moment, Hannah knew the joy of dedicating her child to Yahweh, dedicating her child to the Lord, wholly entrusting her son to the care of God and His service. For her, she presents that as joy, as a blessing. And so if you find yourself sharing in her joy, I encourage you, turn to the Lord in praise. Give thanks to God for all you have, and all you are, but even more, praise Him for who He is and what He does. Whether or not we can see with our own eyes and sense with our own senses His blessing or not, He is worthy of praise. And so I'd encourage you, take time just to be still in God's presence and praise Him. Whether you find refuge in the solitude of a closet that you can run to, or just get outside and go for a walk in the beauty of God's creation. Chelsea once told me about this mom who would be wearing her apron in the kitchen, and she would put her apron over her head, and the kids would know when mom's under the apron, she's alone with the Lord, leave her alone, right? And she found that quiet time. But whatever it is, find that just stillness, that quiet space to be alone with the Lord, and just praise Him. Wherever, whenever, take time to be still and praise our God. And so I want to close by giving husbands and fathers a little homework, okay? So moms get no homework today, just this husbands, all right? Listen to the end of Proverbs 31. It says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband, and he praises her. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. And so as this great poem at the end of Proverbs comes to a conclusion that does so much in its context, but for our purposes, especially thinking about how it models what a godly woman is to be, here in this context, husbands and children praise this excellent woman. So, husbands, praise your wives. Not just today, but every day. But praise your wives. And fathers, teach your children to praise their mother. Lead them in praise. Again, not just today, but every day. And then here's the specific homework assignment for today. At some point today, figure out a creative way where you can tell your wife or say with your children, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. So take that phrase. I want you to communicate that to your wife somehow today. Whether you're out to lunch in just a little bit and you and your children just all of a sudden stand up at the table and you say, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Or maybe you turn it into a song and you run and dance through the house singing, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Or you say for the rest of the day, every time your wife enters the room, you're going to shout it at the top of your lungs, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. You know, or maybe you just sweetly say it, you know, whatever, whichever route you choose. I don't know that we've done a song, but we've done different versions of that for sure. Actually, I was asking Chelsea to read over this. She's like, you should just tell them about the last time you guys did this. So I can't remember if it was our dog or Mercy or something, but there was a mess. And I have a pretty strong gag reflex, and so Chelsea took one for the team, and she's cleaning up the mess, and I really don't remember if it was the dog or if it was Mercy. But while she was doing that, she comes back down the stairs or up the stairs or where she was, and the kids and I are sitting in the kitchen, and we're ready, and like we start, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. And we were joking but serious at the same time. But she said that actually meant a lot because she was doing something hard, and it was that sort of just, I'm with you, I love you, I support you, and it brought some joy and a little bit of humor into a uncomfortable situation. So anyway, have fun with it. I do, you know, sometimes. But at the end of the day, however you communicate that to your wife, to your mother, however you choose to tell her, let her know with all sincerity how much you love her, how much you value her, and how much you thank God for her, for who she is, for all she does, flaws, weaknesses, and all. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Let's let husbands and fathers get a hold of that and make that your anthem, not just today, but every day. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we praise you because you are worthy. You're our Creator and our Savior, and you have loved us in incredible ways. Thank you so much for the women you've put in our lives who show us so much what love is, what humility is, what service is. We learn about faith and fearing you and kindness and so many good things from the mothers and grandmothers and wives and other women who influence us and shape us. Thank you so much for your work in them, your blessing us through them. Father, we're mindful that days of celebration for some are also painful reminders for others of loss and longing and hardship. And I pray that you would give all women who struggle through barrenness or loss, that you would give them just peace and strength and comfort, draw them close to you, wrap your arms around them to provide the comfort that is from you alone, the peace that is from you alone. And may we also be able to rejoice with those who rejoice and be able to celebrate and honor mothers today and wives and grandmothers. We always, though, praise you and thank you for Jesus and how you've shown us love and taught us love and done so much through his death on the cross, where we learn about true love, where we learn about humility, obedience, faith, all the great things that you ultimately want from us and want to do for us and in us and through us, we see when we look at Jesus. Thank you so much for that. Help us all today to draw closer to you, draw closer to one another, to stir each other up, to encourage one another, and glorify you in all things. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, we'll sing a song of invitation in just a second, but if you need anything at this time, this is an opportunity to make requests for prayers, for encouragement, if you need to confess sin, if you're ready to turn to the Lord and begin walking with him, you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, we give that opportunity as well. If there's anything we can do for you, please come forward as we stand.